Yes, good morning all. It is Friday, September 30. The Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And the last show before the long weekend, before the grand final, Penrith and Parramatta on Sunday night, where legacies are at stake. This Panthers side, will they win and confirm themselves as a champion team of the modern era with two grand final triumphs in 3 years? Or will Parramatta break that 36-year premiership drought and make themselves heroes in the West there, and a Western Sydney derby to savour coming up? Penrith $1.38. That market hasn't changed since Monday. $1.38 with tab. Parramatta $3.10. And roughly 61% of the money is for Penrith as it stands. 8.5 is the line. Para the plus. And well, to just start off a salivating weekend tonight at Moonee Valley in race one, Foxy Cleopatra is heading that way. Morning, Loz.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. Yes, we've decided to run it tonight at Moonee Valley, so hopefully everything is in perfect condition for her to run tonight, and hopefully she lets down Well Meadow and runs a decent race.
$2.60 and favourite in a field of seven where she's drawn widest. Not too concerned about that in a small field.
Track would be the only concern. Tight track.
Hopefully she can just swing off the bend there at the valley.
Well, hopefully she'll be able to do that, Middo. But, you know, trainers think that other grounds, other tracks suit up. So they'd love to be running at a Flemington. But it's probably a bit harder race this early in her career. The Edward Minifold on
tomorrow,
the Saturday.
Yeah. I will give her strength tonight. Pup, morning to you, mate.
Morning, boys. Go the Fox. Nice to see she's in. Loz, I'm excited. What time she raced?
About 5:15.
Yeah,
I think.
Early. First race. Yeah. 5:15.
Rightio, lock me in. I'll be cheering her on.
Yeah, no, she should run well, I hope. We're hoping she runs well, but the price doesn't excite me.
Or a win.
Well, she's starting favourite.
No, you got to.
Yeah, she is.
Chips in.
So you got to go all in.
Oh,
$2.60.
Can you say that again? You got to what?
You got to go all in.
She's going to win.
No.
What? No. Yes.
No.
I still think.
Otherwise, I would have put her in multi. I still think the further the better for her.
Nah, I'll lock her in. I'm on her.
Well, I hope you're right.
The other thing I
want to
say,
but I'm not confident.
Ray Warren just do the grand final, just for the next few years.
He could if he wanted to.
How good was hearing that voice there in the leader in the this morning? Just when you hear Ravs.
He's just got an amazing voice. He added to every big event here in Australia. Or most big events in Australia, didn't he?
I miss his commentary so much. And the other guys are unreal, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But it's like the cricket. I miss those big four as well. Richie,
when they've been
Bill,
in your life for so long,
Craig
too.
And Chappelle,
like when you regularly just continually hear them, they just become part of the norm. Yeah. So when they're not there, that's when you go, oh, something sounds a little bit different.
Yeah.
But over time, I'm not saying they can reach the levels of rap.
I just think it's different when you hear...
But you'll hear their voice and it'll become more accustomed to you and you just get used
to... It's not the same, though, Lord.
It's the only one you've known.
Yeah,
But you get.
But you know when someone gets excited and like there's an unbelievable try or there's a big play. Like, I don't know. Rav's just he just sounded different.
He was fantastic. There's not many better than
Bill Laurie.
Than Rav's.
When Bill gets excited, no matter how good any other cricket commentator, you just can't match him. Greggy, he would just say it how it was, and Greggy obviously that. That accent as well, that combination of South African, English, Aussie accent. Mm. I don't know. Maybe that's the old school coming back. But I remember as a kid growing up when you didn't even watch the television, but you'd hear those four voices.
Yeah. The weather war.
And I was like, mate, that is summer. It's summertime.
Oh, for sure. 100%. All I can think of is Billy Birmingham in The 12th Man. Like a comfy pair of jeans.
Yes. Mate, unbelievable. Hey, Ravs just didn't, he just had enough, mate. Is that what it was?
Or I think he's been contemplating it for a while.
Would you be able to just say, look, I'll just do the GF? Or do you think nine would say, mate, you can't do that.
No, I reckon they might have if he wanted to. But I think Ravs being the professional and team player probably thought, well, if I only do that, that's been a little bit selfish.
I
haven't covered it throughout the year.
Nine did it with Bill Laurie And I'm hoping he still does Boxing Day Test. So
just for the MCG.
It started, Bill did, I think once he stepped down from a lot, he still did New Year's Test in Sydney and Boxing Day. And then it just went to Boxing Day. I'm not sure if he's still going to do it. But even like, when you think of Boxing Day Test match, all you hear is Bill Laurie's voice, I reckon.
Yeah. It's great. It's good that we've had him for so long.
Oh, yeah, what a genius.
His voice is always synonymous with great sporting events here in Australia. But like everything, there comes a time when you've got to retire, and he felt as though this year was the right time.
They did. Isn't there a show? Haven't they done like a bit of a look back on his career, Channel 9?
I think they might have.
I reckon that might be on...
that a couple of weeks ago?
Was it?
Not sure.
Already
it's on tonight. Jono's just told me it's on tonight. There you go.
I reckon
perfect.
That would be unreal.
Yeah.
What a career.
In some interviews I've seen with him, you know, he's scared about making that one mistake. He doesn't want to get to this point of his career and make an error that, you know, he'll get slammed for. So, you know, you can understand that he just wants to go out on top.
Yeah. I'm not telling him when he should and shouldn't. I just miss his voice. And I feel like in a grand final, man, imagine if you turned it on and heard that voice.
And I guess for you both, you know, you were lucky. Like the voices of the greatest moments of your careers are Ray Warren calling your grand finals, and Richie and Bill and Tony and Cipelli calling.
Yeah.
You know, 300s at the SCG. Yeah. Thank goodness. No, we were lucky to grow up with those voices, no doubt about that. The two teams came together yesterday, a fan day in Martin Place, right in the heart of the city, of course. So always love watching the teams sort of square off awkwardly across from each other. I make more of it, I know, than you guys probably think of, but just to see if you can just see anything.
Any beef between players? Would you like to see a punch-up or something on that day when they do just, a bit of push and shove?
Well, Ricky, didn't he? He was frosty towards Trent Robinson, I'm sure. He didn't shake his hand. Yes.
What?
2019. That's right.
Yeah, I noticed yesterday the forwards didn't shake
hands. Yeah, the backs didn't, the forwards didn't. Yeah.
I saw that on the TV.
Yeah, Ricky Brach, Trent Robinson. I love that, though. I love it.
Yeah, that's him. He didn't want to be friends with anyone that week.
No handshake. No what about just a handshake and look the other way, not look him in the eye?
You've got to do that. If you're shaking hands,
you've got to look at someone. Well, otherwise, there's no point shaking
hands. What about you give him the old hard one? You know, you squeeze his hand tight, like you let him know, mate, you didn't have to say anything. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Just give him one of those.
Yeah, no,
Ricky should have gave him have some of that, Robbo. Are they all right now, those two?
Yeah.
What was the beef?
No, that's just Ricky.
It was just
grand final him getting got a job to do.
He thought he was still playing.
Yeah, well, that's he's always been like that.
Yeah,
mate,
cool
he's the most competitive person I've ever seen.
Yeah, oh, man.
I'm cool with it.
After the game.
After, you know, shake hands
after
the game.
I'm not.
Until
I'm,
then,
not
you're
me.
My enemy. Mate.
I remember Punnett told, it might even been an Ashes series, and he told us we weren't allowed to talk to the players off the field. It lasts about 3 minutes.
Well, didn't in 2005. Well, Queensland didn't England take that approach to you blokes?
I don't know. I can't remember. Oh, if they did, it didn't happen because they had Freddie and Harmy, and they're two nicest guys on the planet. They talked to everyone. Mm. Oh, I understand. Like, I think there's a gap between being, you know, best mates with blokes that you're playing against. Mm. I think you can, you know, when you walk onto the field, it's game time. No matter who you're playing against
before the game. I used to, Mel was my captain. I'd come out and shake his hand, but we wouldn't.
Yeah.
We wouldn't exchange pleasantries at the coin toss.
Of course you would.
No, no, no.
Origin.
But if we're staying at the same hotel.
And you walk past someone.
Yeah. Like you saying morning or saying hello.
Yeah, I wouldn't stop and talk. I'd say, acknowledge.
Yeah, that's
there's
cool.
No way in a grand final sort of week or the day of the game.
No, you'd be besties.
Mate,
I agree with that. I agree with that. But I think, I don't know. To me, I've never thought. And cricket's very different to rugby league as well. You haven't got that physical, you know.
You're ready to go out and bash someone.
Yeah, you haven't got.
So you
haven't got.
You
that.
Sort of
and
got to
and
get
it, certainly as a
mindset.
Batsman, you know, getting too pumped up like that was probably the worst thing for me.
Yeah.
But I think, to me, I just thought once you stepped onto the field, didn't matter who you were playing, it's game time. But off the field, I was even as captain with the boys, they would ask, "Hey, mate, a lot of these guys are playing against with each other in different." I was like. Yeah, you don't need to be best mates. Like we're playing against them, and we're here to win. But yeah, it's not hard to say g'day.
Yeah,
Was it like if he caught you talking to someone, you thought you'd get dropped?
Mm. Yeah, I don't mind that. Queensland always had that philosophy too, and they still do.
Yeah. You're my enemy.
Mate, I'm there to win. I'm there after the game.
What about the game? Our games go for 3 months. Don't talk to your mate for 3 months.
Stuff him.
Right. That's when Kevin Peterson. Remember the Kevin Peterson saga with South Africa?
Huh.
So same thing. They mustn't have been allowed to talk to the South Africans. So KP's on the text to them.
Yeah, telling them
Give
about
him a bit
his
of info about Strauss, about the captain, yeah. I think.
God, just having an interesting discussion about Dylan Edwards, which we might get to after 6 o'clock. But front page of the Daily Telegraph, there you go. There's a couple of blokes just having a little cuddle.
Okay, so
Jerome Luai, Mitch Moses under the headline, Fathers in Arms. Obviously, nice story.
Do you
story.
Not like that?
I do like that.
Love that.
But it's under the context of they've both just... their partners have just given birth in the recent days. So,
they
are
virtually going head to head in the grand final, right? These two.
Yeah.
I'm cool with this. I think this is mutual respect. It's a photograph. Doesn't mean once they walk out the field, they're not going to hate each other. But I'm so cool with that. Okay. I like it.
I'm cool with that one photo. Now I want hate.
Yeah.
Until the game's over.
Loz, you don't like that, do you?
No, I don't mind people getting a photo like that. No, that's okay. But for me, I was always uncomfortable. I didn't like talking to my opposition.
Yeah.
I didn't like talking to my opponent.
Fair enough.
Again, that was just me. Yeah. I was more of a bloke that just wanted to focus in on knowing what I wanted to do and wanting to go out there and play well against my opponent. I didn't want to be friends with him on the night.
The more I think
after
about
the game,
different
cool.
story. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It must have been so disconcerting for you, Loz, to go and shake hands with Mal Meninga before an Origin game at a coin toss.
Oh, it was awkward.
It must have been awkward.
It was. I mean, I didn't want to speak to him. He didn't want to speak to me. You're great mates. Yeah. So it's just one of those...
You know, he would have looked at you as the enemy.
Oh, definitely.
Big time.
Well, in my first Origin game, he smashed me.
Yeah.
That was the best lesson I ever had about Origin. Was I think at the time it was New South Wales' biggest ever loss, first game in 89, and I marked him. And I remember going to tackle him, and he just went bang with his hand, like arm, just give me a big stiff arm and knocked me out of the road. And then he trampled me. And then I ran, and my ribs were open. He came right in from the side and just went whack.
Yeah. Welcome.
Well, yeah. And there was mate, sorry about that. It was like, wow, yeah, righto. No, that's fair enough. Fair game. I know what Origin's about now. And then he shook my hands with a big smile on his face after the game.
How'd that feel?
He scored three tries, kicked plenty of goals. I had a shocker. He was loving it. And I just went, oh, well, that's Origin.
Yeah.
And I always thought, because I got dropped after game two, because I played terrible. And then I thought...
You were 18 or something, weren't you?
Just turned 40.
If I get another opportunity, I need to be a lot better than what I was.
They say that's what turned Australian cricket around when AB on an Ashes series did the same thing. He felt like everyone was really matey the Ashes series beforehand. He was captain.
Really?
He said to his team, rightio, it's time that we start aiming up. And apparently he was good friends with, might have been David Gow, might have been captain at the time. And AB was good mates with everyone. Yeah. And then at that first coin toss, Dave Gow went and like shake his hand, give him a hug, and AB did not even say hello to him. He set the tone and went, that's it.
Talking about coin tosses, was my last, no, not my last game, it was Mal's last game as captain. And Phil Gould said to me, he said, that like the touchy comes in and goes, mate, they're out there for the toss, you got to come out for the toss.
This is Origin.
This is Origin.
Yep.
So, mate, I waited. Gus said, don't go out.
Make him wait.
And I'm like, oh, mate, this is going to be very awkward. Now, and I walked out. I reckon we had him. Oh, mate, he was steaming.
Yeah.
There was no handshake. It was just a stare. This is at Lang Park.
My God.
And I'm like, oh, wow. I walked back in the sheds. I looked at Gus. He said, how was he? I said, yeah, no, he was all right. I was like, mate, he's ready to rip my head off.
Don't run into him.
Yeah.
And that's 94. You won.
Yeah, we ended up winning. Mm. But, I mean, I remember walking into the shed thinking, this is either going to go two ways.
Yeah.
It's either going to rattle him or
fire
he's just,
him up
yeah, he's just going to come out and just hammer us. So fortunately for us, we were able to go on and win that game. But yeah, that was a moment that I remember, and I was reluctant to do it.
Does Mal remember it?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
But I was reluctant.
Why did that used to annoy the shit out of me
as
well.
Oh, mate, it does, yeah.
When you're standing on the ground, and you know, because the toss is about TV. As soon as TV's ready, with cricket anyway, as soon as TV's ready, you go.
Yeah.
Yet you stand there and just, like some teams.
Wait, yeah, it's frustration. Mate, it's frustrating when you're on the other side.
You know what time the toss is every single game. How can you be 7 minutes late to a toss?
Well, mate, this day I was. And, yeah, he wasn't happy. And the refs were blowing up too. But the touchy just kept coming in. And Gus kept saying, don't go out. And I'm going, well, what do I do here?
Yeah.
The coach is telling me not to go out. Yeah, and then he said, go for a walk over there. So I had to go walking, like pretend I was
doing
a
lap around the ground.
Oh, mate. The mind games you play.
Anyway, nice little cuddle there, front page of the telly today. Jerome Luai, Mitch Moses. Back page, Nathan Brown, certainly one of the stories of the week as far as team selection is concerned. Premiership ring, Brown answers the call as Arthur seeks smart aggression. Headline on the back page of the telly. Rubbish recalled, Brown hits out at rumours of Arthur rift on the back page of the City Morning Herald. He spoke to Denny Widley yesterday. It was on Nine News last night, and he rubbished any notion of issues with the coach, Brad Arthur, for being out of the side in recent times. His recall this week, of course, hasn't played since round, I think it was 17, July 9, against the Tigers. A false rumour. He described that rumour about he and Brad Arthur not getting on. Could end up at the Tigers next year, by the way.
We'll take him. We will definitely take him. I was just thinking then, I'm not sure he's going to get long enough minutes, but Matt, I reckon he's going to have an absolute belter. I feel like he could be not the defining factor, but a defining factor in the game. Just that 20-minute hit, but it's the way he plays Loz. Like, even listening that, like, the length he hasn't played first grade for, I was going, I'm sure it was 6 months ago. We're talking about, last year, we're talking about him, you know, no-brainer for Origin.
Yeah. Well, it was 2020 he played Origin.
Unbelievable.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
His discipline's crucial, isn't it?
Doesn't fear a thing, does he?
No.
Just.
No. And he's 100 got good
miles
speed.
He reminds me of the playing front row for the Cowboys and played for Queensland.
Maguire?
No.
Cotter.
Yes.
Reuben Cotter.
Reuben Cotter. Yep. Mm. Like, same. Body on the line, every single hit, runs straight and hard and doesn't care that he, you know, might be smaller than other blokes.
Yeah. He's not real big, but he's brave. And he's got good speed. He creates some
bit of Wattmau.
Offloads.
Yeah. Wattmau when
Chalky Wattmau.
Yeah.
He was a good player, Chalk. He was tough as they come.
He was
And
awesome.
He had good speed too. He surged into the line.
Why was he so hard? Everyone used to say he was so hard to tackle.
Because he was built low to the ground and he was quite big.
Thick legs. Man.
But he was a guy that, as he got closer to the defensive line, he'd surge. You know, he got blokes that have come at one speed, but he'd come at speed. Well, not speed. He'd come with his run, but then he'd surge. So you'd think you'd set yourself for this bloke to tackle, and then he'd sort of take off and go, and he's so powerful. I think that's caught a lot of people out.
Yeah.
Kicking on also on the back page of the Herald, Eels fullback Clint Gutherson will assume a major role in dealing with the aerial threat that Nathan Cleary has planned for the Eels Sunday night. There is a picture of Gutho and Cleary back to back. And back page of the Australian, Moses eyes sweet revenge on his old coach. Another little side story to the grand final. Ivan Cleary was coach of the Tigers when they gave Mitch Moses the heave-ho from the club. Ended up in the Eels' lap and on the verge of glory tomorrow night.
Looking for an article.
Sunday night.
Looking for an article.
Got to find
Mitch Moses is not thought one bit about Ivan Cleary. No chance.
Possibly not.
No chance.
Not Tigers. I don't think he'd be thinking about the Tigers. But he'd be thinking about how things have turned out for him.
Pretty good at the moment.
Yeah. You know, definitely.
Pretty good for Ivan Cleary, by the way, as well.
Awesome for Ivan Cleary.
What Cleary's been able to do over there for the last few years has been excellent. And they get the chance on Sunday to confirm themselves as one of the great teams. But Parramatta have got a bit to say in that as well. Parramatta, they go into this game as underdogs. But I think they'll be confident that they can get the job done if they play to the best of their ability.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. How about those Opals last night? 86-69 against Belgium. And Caleb George had 19 points, but Lauren Jackson played the most minutes comfortably of the tournament so far. She was out there for 14 minutes all up and scored 12 points. Really made an impact when she came on. I watched a lot of the first half, went to bed after that, but by halftime, the Opals were well and truly in control. And they will play China tonight, 7:30. China, 85-71. They beat France. The market with Tab for that one. Australia, $2.70 outsiders. And China, $1.45. And the Americans beat Serbia, 88-55. And they'll play Canada, who beat Puerto Rico, 79-60. And the market in that game, well, it's currently suspended at the moment. But we'll have Brad Rosen on in about half an hour's time to talk about that. Now, we're just pondering before, Dylan Edwards, and I think Clarkie raised it just off air before.
Mm.
Obviously, just an absolute gun
for
Penrith. But you've pondered, if he left the Panthers and ended up in another system, how dominant would he be? It's a great question.
I think take nothing away from him. He has had a stellar season, and I don't think you'd hear too many people argue the fact that if he's not currently the best player in the game, he's in the top three in regards to consistency throughout the entire season.
Cast of value.
Yeah, brilliant. And you look at the amount of money he's getting paid compared to a lot of the other fullbacks. My God, he's, you know, you take him every day of the week. But I think he's become so good and he's at his best at the moment. I think a big part of that is because of the people that are around him. And I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying sometimes in sport, you know your teammates so well. Like when I batted with Brad Haddon, for example, or Andrew Simons, you didn't even have to call. Like he would block the ball and I just knew from his body language or his first reaction.
You're going.
I just knew. You bat with somebody else that you haven't spent as much time with and you're waiting on yes, no, wait, whatever it was. And I feel like Dylan Edwards, we get time to like click our fingers and he's already got the ball from Cleary. He just knows where to be. Cleary could pass the ball without looking and would know Dylan Edwards is going to be there. And you think of, you know, I think of those greats in Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk, Jonathan Thurston, and who am I missing?
Matty
there?
Bowen.
No, Chris not
Thurston.
Mm-hmm. No, even, I'm thinking for Queensland. Cameron Smith, Thurston, Cronk, and Billy Slater. Those four. It was the same thing. Like, those four just knew each other's game so well. It was nearly like you didn't have to look. You just knew. Mm. And I think it, and Loz, you probably know in your sport, you know better. You must have had that with Ricky. Ricky just knew where you were going to be. You just knew. He's not giving me the ball here. You know, you build a trust and a knowledge of your teammates that I think money-wise is undervalued. So,
there's a connection there. He just fits into that system so well.
It doesn't mean he's not as good a player somewhere else, but it complements how good he is. Yeah. It makes him even better. You know, so I say about commentary, I think the best commentators are generally when you got the best presenter, because the best presenter opens the door for someone like me to speak when I need to speak and get the hell out of there when I don't. It's like the other people in team sport. That's why it's a team sport. And I think this Panthers squad, they just know each other so well. And Dylan Edwards, like, hasn't he grown up playing with these guys?
Yeah,
like,
well, he's been in the system for a while. The thing about Dylan Edwards, and this is a great sign of the strength of Ivan Cleary as a coach. I reckon the two biggest improved players, so the two most improved players, and I mean going from a very, like a good player to an elite player, have been Isaiah Yeo and Dylan Edwards in the last 18 months, 2 years.
Yeah.
Like their growth has just gone straight through the roof. Like they've just gone from this level to that wonderful level where you just go, mate, their performances are 8, 9 out of 10 every week.
And their roles in their team, they know so well, they do it so well, but it suits their game as well, right?
Yeah.
If you go and play, it's
well, you put Isaiah Yeo into the Parramatta system, for instance, and play
completely different brand of footy.
Yeah, you're not playing your Penrith role, you're playing your Parramatta role here. It's a different,
when you select a team, I can only talk about cricket. I used to have this conversation with the selectors all the time. When somebody goes, let's say BBL is a good example. Somebody opens the batting in the BBL, they're the leading run scorer. But when they come to the Australian team, they're not going to open the batting because you've already got Warner and Fitz. Finch or Hayden and Langer, whatever it is, they're going to bat at number 4, 5, or 6. So you've got to be very careful. Your role's different at a club versus playing for your state or playing for your country. Mm. With footy, I would imagine it's the same. You become a certain player in that team that plays a certain style. Sometimes that really suits you. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, and I think when it does, I just think what we're seeing now with this Penrith team, they know their brand of footy. They know their players so well. It feels like that when you watch them. It's just they are in sync with each other.
Yeah, and it's I shouldn't say a simple brand of football, but he's done a remarkable job in getting the players that he needs and requires to fit the brand of football that they play.
Yeah.
And it is just clockwork. Mm. They don't panic. Mm. They get behind. Don't worry. They'll grind away, get themselves back into the contest. And when they need to put their foot down, they do.
Yeah.
And you know what you're going to get from them every week. Mm. Whereas Parramatta, on the other hand, I'm anticipating that they're going to bring their absolute best. Because if they don't, they won't be winning.
Yeah.
They have to bring their best, and they've got to bring that style of football, which I think can trouble Penrith more so than any other team. And that is just offloading, moving it, trying to get one-on-ones and put Penrith under a bit of scoreboard pressure early. But Penrith, they're just consistent in what they do. They're methodical. They break you down.
Dylan Edwards reminds me of Michael Hussey in the style of personality, in they don't want the fame or they don't want to be the big show, but they are nearly the most valuable player in your team because they're consistent. They are there every day of the week. They train as hard as anyone and they're reliable. And he just seems like he's exactly like that.
They would win more player awards
than any other player. I agree 100%. Every year. They're the player. Once you become captain, you say, they are my first pick player.
Yeah.
When you're not captain, you go, nah, I want the Warnie, I want the Dave, I want the big show, you know. But when you actually become a selector or captain, you go, you give me him, now I know I can go and pick a David Warner. Because I know what I'm going to get from Dylan Edwards.
And it's funny, you know, like when you have player awards and you vote on the player of the game after the match, it's not usually the biggest name player that wins it or the player that gets the man of the match award. It's usually someone that is understated in your team.
Teammates vote different.
They vote differently because they know how important or what he's just done.
You see the work that's not on camera.
Yep.
Now, we've got some calls, but quickly, Loz, the Sticky Wings Big Sports Breakfast Multi is open.
It's open, Middo, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to Flemington tomorrow, race 4, number 6. A mate of mine owns this horse, so I'm going to tip it to run in the top 4. Odium.
Odium, yeah. We've had this in the multi before.
Yep.
Don't think successfully, but top 4.
Good hasn't run for a while, making a return, but I'm hoping top 4. Okay. And then we're going to have to wait till race 10, number 7. This is at Randwick. Cole Crusher.
Oh, yeah.
To finish top 2.
One for the miners.
All right, so if you like that Sticky Wigs BSB multi, Odium to run top 4, Cold Crusher to run top 2, that is paying $15.
It's fat.
That is fat.
15 clams.
And don't forget, race 1 tonight, the Foxy.
Ooh, yeah. Come on, the Fox.
She is running.
Come on, the Fox.
Race at 1 Noonie in the Valley. Quarter past 5 this afternoon. She's a $2.60 favourite with Tab.
Can you text me?
Blake Shin. Yes, I can.
So I don't forget. Absolutely. Because you'll definitely be watching. So can you just chuck us a little
Pups,
text?
Pups, I want you to watch a quarter past 5.
I will 100% watch. I'll be at home.
Please don't text me if she loses.
No, I'll text you no matter what. I'll text you, Mage. I can't sit here and go, Mage. You look good.
No, I don't want any bullshit.
Okay, I'll say bad luck. I'll give you a bad luck.
Yeah, I don't want the old mate. She's a good horse. She
I can't. I'm lying. If I say that, I'm a liar because I got no idea. I'll text you, mate. She's still coming to Kelsey Lee's birthday party.
G'day, Rod. Rod, we got you. Roddy.
Mate, knockout's ready, done.
Has the rain stayed away?
No, mate, I finished at 1:30 this morning.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Oh, well, that won't stop anyone from getting down there, mate.
7:30 start yesterday, 1:30 finished. Oh. It's all done, they got there today.
I'll be
looking forward to it. Anyone down the South Coast over the weekend, come down and watch some good footy at Bomaderry Sporting Complex or South Now Rugby Park. I think it's $10 on today, $15 on Friday and Saturday, and on Sunday, sorry, and $10 on Monday, or you can get a 4-day pass for $40.
And there's a number of NRL players playing in the carnival this year too, isn't there?
Well, the Latrell's playing. I know for a fact the South Coast.
I think Jackie Whiten's playing too.
Yep.
Well, South Coast Black Cockatiers have brought down three North Queensland players. I'm hearing Scotty Drinkwater, Hammerfedow.
Yep, Hammerso, yep.
Someone Brown, he plays for Mother.
Oh, all right. Oh, no, it's always a good weekend, and there's some good footy that'll be played. And it's broadcast too, isn't it, Rod?
Yeah, NITV, have a look on things on the Saturday, Sunday and the Monday.
Yep.
On the ground after the GF, if you've got an up and on and you're feeling a bit hungover, go to NITV and you'll see the all the 13s girls, 13s boys, 15s boys, 15 girls, 17 girls, 17 boys. And the women's and the men's finals, mate. So, and I don't care what anyone says. You know what knockout footy's like, Laurie. It's just good old 80s football.
I was going to say, mate, they go after each other. They don't hang back.
All right, I'll ring you on Tuesday, mate. If you come down, I'll see you.
Good on you, Roddy.
All right.
Well done, mate.
Cheers, Roddy. So that's the 50th Koorooroo knockout this weekend in Bomaderry, Loz. Yeah, Cody Walker's playing. Tyrone Peachy, Albert Kelly, someone texted in about Jackie White.
Mate, I think there's a lot of the boys. I'm in a chat group with a few of them, and a lot of them are playing this weekend.
And the clubs give there, because someone, you know, Jack writes, you know, do you think Mal will be happy about this one? The clubs and selectors give the players their blessing. They've just come out of the season. It's not like they're cold,
They want to play in it, and they're allowed to play in it. Why shouldn't they play in it?
Yeah.
If the clubs allow them to do it, the players want to be a part of it. And as Rod said there before, it's sort of a combination of new and old, because there's plenty of rivalry there with the knockout, and they go at each other.
I was going to say, for the big boys, they wouldn't be going there to lose, let me tell you.
Oh, no, it's sort of the old school when the big dog comes to town.
Smashing.
Yeah, they see an opportunity to try and give it to a Latrell or a Jack or someone like that. They've got to try and do it.
No, thank you very much.
Get a reputation off it.
All right, we've got more calls there. We'll get to them. We're just going to take a quick break, and Loz is going to tell us about this competition that is concocted.
That he's about to make up.
Now, I think the Tab app or the Tab system is just having its standard reboot at this time of the morning. So in a few minutes' time, if you're trying to get on, you can't see the multi there, then it will be back in a few minutes. Now, apparently Cole Crusher, the great G Munsey, has just informed me he's also entered for Warwick Farm on Monday. But you would have spoken to the connections, Loz. You'd have all the mail that it's obviously running in race 10 tomorrow.
Munsey. Glenn, what are you doing listening to our program at this time of the morning? I'm up and about, $15. I didn't know it was nominated for Monday, no.
That's all right.
I haven't been
told.
So I've got no idea, to be perfectly honest.
Okay. Anyway.
But my mail was
the multi's 15. Anyway, if it does go that way, everyone gets a refund.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's
just hope it's in tomorrow. Now, tell us about this competition you're running.
So this competition, all right, it's for callers only, all right, because we get 1,000 text messages. So we need people to call up. So we need to get a margin. So who's going to win?
Or pick the score.
Pick the score. Yeah, pick the score.
Not a margin. Right, let's go pick the score. Right. Yep.
So we'll go winner, pick the score. Clive Churchill.
Okay, beautiful.
And the winner gets?
Winner or closest to gets. We're going to delve deep into the cupboard and find what we can, but we'll definitely give what we give out on Heroes and Villains on a Monday, which is the $100 gift card and a case of the Saint and Sinner Alcoholic Kombucha, which has sponsored the show, and we'll chuck in, you know, some stuff as well. Add to that. 1353 53 is the number. Trent, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How good is this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
As good as it gets. Foxy, all up. Tab Epsom Day, all up. Oh. GF.
Can start well tonight, Trent.
Oh, it will, Loz. I will, mate. I'm already on Foxy, mate.
So oh, good boy. Good.
Carrying plenty.
Well, she will be carrying plenty, I reckon.
Oh, mate. Well, yeah, you don't want my ample frame on her, mate. But mate, she's I think she's a special actually tonight, Loz. So yeah, you've had about 1,000 scratchings with her, but hopefully she gets around for you tonight, mate.
Well, hopefully she handles the track, mate.
Yeah. Look, she should be okay. I think. Look, you've got a nice one there, mate. Or the TRL have a nice one there. So. I think it'll go okay. But you forget the FFA Cup final on Saturday night too, boys. There's 3 events on this weekend in Sydney.
Oh, of course.
MacArthur.
It's a massive weekend. Yeah, MacArthur and Sydney United. So there's already about 15,000 tickets sold, I think. So.
Oh, really?
It'll be a... you'll see some interesting things in the crowd on Saturday night, Loz, if you flick over for 5 minutes.
I will. Isn't the chairman of MacArthur the chairman of the other club as well?
Mate, he certainly is. I think he's already...
it's a win-win.
He's a win-win.
Embroiderer. Yeah, mate, it's a win-win. He's already been to the embroiderer. He's already got half a shirt each. So I think he's wearing white on one half and red on the other. So I think he's okay.
Jeez, he's in for a big night right, then.
But he's in for a massive night, just quietly. But all right, let's show the grand final predictions.
What do you got?
Mate, I reckon Penrith will win.
Yep.
And cool. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be an absolute blowout. I'm going to predict 36-6.
Oh, heavy.
Jeez.
Yeah, Churchill. I think Parra played their grand final last week. They're going to be mentally stuffed after what they went through last week. And to come back a week later, I think it's just going to be too much for them, unfortunately. So that's my prediction.
Churchill?
Churchill, you've been flogging this bike all week, boys. You were flogging him again this morning. I'm going to go Dylan Edwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to go the upset. He has had a great year, and if Cleary's on, let's face it, a half or a 5/8's going to get it, but he just does the gritty stuff for him, like you've been saying all week. He just does that gritty stuff, makes the hard yards. He makes them better, you know, and you were talking earlier in the week, like he's an 800K fullback any day of the week.
Now he is.
You know, at another club. Now he is, for sure. Like, mate, Gus Canterbury, if he's off contract, give him a call. So
he's there till 2024. He's under contract at the Panthers at the moment. So, yeah. Nah, Trent, thanks for the call. You're in the running. Chicken chow, morning to you.
G'day, mate. Bloody Trent going on about FFA. hey, it was. I'm pretty sure the Daily M winner, what's his name? Nico Hines played for Griffith Freeways a few years ago. He was carving up. So I'm not sure if he's playing there with the Feeder Boys. I think it was Griffith Freeways.
This is
a knockout.
Yeah.
So I hope I
can
fire for him again.
Well, I think I don't know whether he might play this weekend. I don't know, but I know a lot of the boys are putting their hand up to play.
Yeah, I've got a tip for the Moray Boomerangs. I reckon they've got a few sides this year, but they might go all right.
They're always very strong, the Boomerangs.
Yeah, Clarkie, do you have a treadmill or a backtracking machine in your joint?
A what?
A backtracking machine.
It's a backtracking machine. Yeah. What's that?
You go through and Ed was saying that he wouldn't be very good at other clubs.
No, don't put words in my mouth. I didn't say that. I said he's a genius where he is, but he'd still be very good no matter where he went.
Well, mate.
Don't put words in my mouth, chicken.
No, it's a backtracking machine.
Caesar salad. Go and have a Julius.
Julius Caesar. Stockman in the Metro, mate. Moral.
It's scratched.
No, and it's not, is it?
Oh, yes. Mate.
Got scratched at 3:48 yesterday.
mate, I just checked your new app that does my head in. It's a Roman numeral. Mate, and what else have I got?
Is it in mid-up?
Mate, it's not scratched.
No, it must have been. Was it scratched? It was.
In the Metro.
Mate, I had to put my multi in yesterday.
It was scratched.
And I had Stockman to run a place.
No, it wasn't.
And I got told it was scratched.
Wasn't that a different race? I think I might have dual accepted, Loz.
It's in the Metrop, you imbecile.
I know it's in the Metrop.
Yeah, it was. No, it was scratched from the Hill Stakes. It was also in the Hill Stakes.
So Dicko's got confused.
Oh, no.
Dicko's got confused.
Yeah. Did you say the Metrop, though? Or did you say that race? Okay.
I just sent through.
And Stockman,
dead set, it was about 3:30 I sent it through, and about 3:48...
It was always running in the Metro.
The text came through that it's been scratched. Mm. I'll tell you what time the text came through. Jeez, I'm disappointed now, Chicken Chow.
Yeah, it was scratched from the Hill Stakes. Go, Chicken Chow. before we run 50 minutes late for the news. Go.
Sorry about the news, mate, but Loz, you sound a bit more like Clarkey and Schultz from MASH. I know nothing.
With what? What do I know nothing? I know nothing, but what
chicken.
Am I? What am I Schultz with?
Get out of the pub and go to work, would you?
Mate, I'm working the water show policy of Linfield today.
Oh.
He couldn't see any other. Oh, my beautiful house that's up near you, Loz. All these missiles around you.
No, I'll tell you what, they tell me you haven't been to the Unity for a while.
I haven't, mate. I know. I've just been, you know, looking up. Yeah, I know. I'm busting to get there for grand final day.
Well, they're missing you. I know that.
All right, chicken. Got to go. Have a great weekend. The Opals 86-69 over Belgium last night. We've got Brad Rosen coming up shortly. They'll play China in a World Cup semi-final tonight in Sydney, 7:30 tonight, that is, and it can be seen on ESPN. Also yesterday, over in the Major League in baseball, New York Yankees star Aaron Judge, he's done it. His 61st home run this season to tie an American League record that stood since 1961. So he's equaled Roger Maris from back then, as the Yankees beat the Toronto Blue Jays 8-3, just a few games to go before we get into the playoffs there as well. And Loz, your multi, I just see it back up on the app. So for all those trying to get on, it is there. And it is a $15 multi. So it what is. Runners have we got?
Flemington Race 4, number 6, Odium top 4. Into Ramwick Race 10, number 7, Cole Crusher to run top 2, Biddo. And that's paying $17 thanks to our great mates.
$15.
$15. What did I say?
$17.
$15. Well, I was going to give it $17. Sticky Wings, thank you very much.
Yeah, mate, Kurt's on the line. G'day, Kurt.
G'day, Middo. G'day, Pup. G'day, Loz. G'day,
hey, buddy.
Geez, you're up and about, Kurtie. You must be excited. Is there something on this weekend?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, I'm always up and about. You know, living the dream as always, working at the solar farm at Miranda, and I've got a bit of an autism toolbox talk tomorrow morning on site.
Oh, beautiful. That'll be lovely, mate. Tell me about the toolbox talk.
Well, the toolbox talk is this. It's just all about raising autism awareness and just emphasising life on the training I recently did when I was up in Sydney.
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago, I did an assist course, which means, you know, like if someone was down or doing it tough, or if I take it upon myself, knowing that someone's not themselves, I then ask them simple questions like, you thought about committing suicide, you thought about ending your life, something bothering you, and then I've got the opportunity to put them in a safe zone and talk to the safety officer and supervisors and all that sort of stuff, and you know, try to get them away from committing suicide. You know, because we're losing too many people as it is, Loz. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, well, you're doing some great work, Curdy. So, how long have you been giving these talks, mate?
Oh well, once in a blue moon. You know, like I did a toolbox talk about 12 months ago on a chicken shed project.
Yep.
And yeah, just once a year, more or less. You know what I mean? Because I'm an assist worker. Because I progressed from a connector to an assist worker. So not only I can do it on site, but I can do it anywhere, like at a game of footy or when we're out having a few beers, whatever it is.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Oh, that's good, mate. Now, did you play footy this year?
I did have a couple of games.
Did you score any tries?
No. Actually managed to kick a goal. I did actually manage to have a run with Rankin Springs in the first round where we played Gulgowie.
Yep.
At Narendra Sports Ground, and then I actually had another run with Hilston, because them two occasions where I've had a run, they've obviously been a bit short, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Talk us through your goal. Was it from the sideline or in front?
Well, we're flogging them, you know. We're probably about a minute to go, and we're playing Brelan out at Hilston in the Pro 10 Cup, which was the last round before the finals.
Yep.
And, I was just hanging around when old mate scored a try, so I thought, I'll have a kick. It's the last game for the final, so I've lined it up.
Yeah.
I took my time and, you know, had my hand up like I was Mark Riddell, so I've lined it up and, yeah, I've just kicked it on an angle and over the black dot she went.
Straight between the sticks. Now, Kurt, grand final this weekend. Now, I know your Storm and the Raiders aren't in it.
Yep.
But Penrith and Parramatta, who are you going for? Who do you think will win?
I honestly believe it'll be a good game. Good tight tussle for probably most of the game. You know, from what I can see, you know, if Parramatta are a huge chance, I believe They've got to go down the similar path to what Cronulla did when they beat the Storm in 2016. Just get up there, bash their forward, and just, yeah, just have a bit of a similar plan of attack. Whereas for Penrith, keep being consistent, you know, been playing the same way. Yeah, no. I just think Penrith will be a little bit too strong for Parramatta in the end, but it'll be a good game to watch, no doubt about it. But, yeah, I really don't care who wins, to tell you the truth.
All right. Well, have you got a score and a Clive Churchill medal winner?
I believe the score might be, I think it'll be probably 18-8.
Yep.
And I believe the Clive Churchill medal, Oregon Jerome Luai.
Luai.
Jerome Luai. Penrith to win.
Yep.
Jerome Luai, man of the match.
Okay. Kurt, thanks for calling in, mate. Good to chat.
My pleasure. Yeah, you.
Good to chat, Curdy.
Thank you very much, mate, for having me on board. It was good to chat you once again.
You're doing some good stuff, mate.
Yeah, good
well
done. Coming up, Brad Rosen. Brad, good morning. How about those opals?
Go those opals. How good was it?
They were outstanding. Beck Allen didn't play what she played. What, 2.5 minutes, Brad? And then Lauren Jackson came on and really made an impact, didn't she, last night? The most minutes she's played in this World Cup so far.
Yeah, that just goes to show what quality she is. And what I mean by that is she was only playing probably 8 to 10 minutes a game. Yeah, a couple of threes, and I think before last night, she hadn't scored a two-point basket. It was only threes. But last night, when it was, you know, do or die, it's now you lose, you go home. LJ showed what LJ can do, played 14 minutes with 12 points. Outstanding game from her at 41, just reminding everyone, 41. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Buddy, how are we going to line up against China? They beat us, didn't they?
Yeah, they've beaten us, yes, but not in this tournament.
Not in this tournament.
They were in the other pool.
Yeah.
So, look, it's going to be so tough with them. China are real good. They've got their centre's like 6'9".
Yeah.
Their guards are really good. They shoot the ball well. There's no doubt that the US is you know, miles ahead of everyone. In theory, China next, and then, you know, everyone flying for that third spot. So for now, Australia's just got to go throw everything at that tonight. It's there's no loss in a sense, because if they lose, they then get the bronze. So we spoke last week and said, you know, what does the Opals need to do? And we said it was a medal, like a podium finish in a medal round. Well, they're getting there. And that's the good thing. No matter what happens, they play for a medal. But today, they've got to throw everything at it. Beck Allen's a huge loss. She only played 2 minutes last night after missing two games with really sore ribs and ankles. So if she can be healthier, we're a show.
Also, it'll come down to Lauren and seeing how she pulls up, wouldn't it, Brad? I mean, if she's played longer minutes, you'd want to make sure that her body is pulled up well, and because she looks as though she's a crucial figure for us.
100%. Yeah, look, with LJ, she's one of those things. Can they win without her? Yeah, they can. You know, they can get it done, and they've proven they can do that. Can they lose when she's playing really good minutes? No, and that's the thing. She's just that good of a player that when she plays great, everyone around her just picks up. But, you know, Kayla George was outstanding last night. Moran Tarlo played well. Ezzie Magbador stepping up. Tess Madgen, the captain, has been playing really well. So it's just like last night, literally from the tip-off, they just played amazing basketball. That's what it's going to take. And really, so it should. We're in a semi-final of the World Cup. You bring your best, you win. And that's what it should be.
And they just play United States in the final?
Oh, look, yeah, they'll walk that in against Canada, which ironically means that if we lose that, we've got to play Canada again for bronze, who's the team we just beat the other day. So I'm really hoping that's not the case. We want to play America. But I'll tell you, if anyone's listening, get on down to Superdome tonight, because there is that many Chinese team supporters. We're worried that they're going to have more of a home court advantage than we are. They are so loud, so good. It's fantastic. It'll be a ripper atmosphere tonight.
No, we can't have that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we can't have that at all. Let's get there and support the Opals. Outsiders, when I last looked, $2.70 and China $1.45 with Tab for that game tonight. Just before we get your NBL predictions for the season, Brad, what do you make of Melbourne United centre Isaac Humphries describing the referees is, quote, not great, and he's copped a bit of a fine for it as well.
Look, he's a Sydney boy, and probably not one of the smartest interviews he's had. I'm really looking forward to him getting that first game when he's down in the block and he gets whacked by another centre and the referee just says, yeah, well, we're not that good anyway, so what does it matter?
So probably an interview best kept for when you retire.
No, I love it.
You know, one of those things where you say it and then you say to yourself, did I actually say that out loud?
Yeah.
I just thought that was the one. But look, I love the passion. I love the enthusiasm and the fact that he speaks out. But yeah, probably pick my words a little bit different before the start of the season. Maybe at the end, no problem.
Who wins the NBL this season? I know it's a tough prediction at this stage, especially looking at the market. Mm. You got the Bullets and the Kings at $5. The 36ers and the Wildcats at $6. South East Melbourne $7.50. Melbourne United $8. Illawarra $9.13 and longer. The other three teams. So it is a congested market, to say the least. Come on, stick your neck out, Brad. Who wins the NBL this season?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've been doing a lot of stuff over the last week because the NBL does start tomorrow. Look, for me, I can't go away from Perth at the moment. I love what they've done for people in Sydney. They know a person called John Riley back in the day. John Riley's now the coach of them, and he is a basketball junkie. I'm calling him the Anthony Albanese because, for those that are not sure, the old coach of Perth was called Scott Morrison. So, yes, there was another Scott Morrison. So now John Riley is now the Anthony Albo of the Perth Wildcats. He's got a fantastic team, and I love Brady Manick, who they've picked up as well. But they've got the MVP from last year. The MVP from many years, Bryce Cotton. I think he's going to have another year like an MVP performance. He's one of those guys, and we've all seen it in sport. You know, when things don't go well, and that's what happened to Perth last year, he's down and ready this year. So Perth, to me, the Sydney Kings, they're looking good. They've got some, you know, players. I know Justin Simon's going to be on the show soon. Great player coming from Illawarra. There's a few question marks for them, but right now Perth are the ones to beat.
What did you make of Chase Buford's comments yesterday? Oh, I liked it. He said, yeah, we were arrogant last year.
Yeah, I love it. And that's like, I don't want to say that's like a bit of an American thing, but it is an NBA thing in a sense. Yeah. It's like, well, come and get us. Yeah. You know, yeah, we're arrogant. And they could be because they knew. And I remember, you know, you speak to like a Luke Longley and stuff. That's what the Chicago Bulls were in 98. You can't beat us. So come and get us. And I love the fact that the Kings, I don't know if they can do it this year, though, if they can't be as arrogant this year.
Okay, your predictions for opening day. And with Tab, Southeast Melbourne up against Tassie. And Tab has the Phoenix $1.80, Tasmania $2. Very tight market there. And the Hawks, $2.40. Slight outsiders against the Kings, $1.55.
Yeah, look, I think Southeast Melbourne, they were poor last season. And I think they'll get that win against Tasmania, even though Tasmania, you know, coming off a fantastic season, I think that second year doldrums might be hard. So Southeast Melbourne to win that, Sydney Kings, I think, to beat Illawarra. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be quite comfortable.
Okay, so take the Kings, $1.55 there. And I guess Perth-Brisbane's the other game to really watch, considering Brisbane's joint favourites to win the competition. They're $2.20 outsiders travelling to the West. The Wildcats $1.67. And you've just tipped Perth to win it all. So I'm guessing you're with the Wildcats here.
Yeah, I am. And Brisbane are going to be great with what they've picked up in Aaron Bain, Tyler Johnson, their new import's going to be outstanding. I think it's going to take a bit of time for them. They're a brand new franchise in a sense. So Perth to win at home, remembering after the 34 years they didn't make the playoffs and now they're ready to hum and rock.
Let's have an Opals Kings multi just to start it all off, Brad.
Go those Opals, go those Kings.
Thanks so much, mate. Chat soon. Brad Rosen there. We got Ali Mosley coming up shortly. Just a few of your texts here. Morning, boys. Love the show. Massive Panthers supporter. Growler in Narrabri sending this text through, and he says, my score is Panthers 28-14. The mighty Nathan Cleary for the Churchill medal. Morning, boys. Hope you're doing well. Grand final prediction, 22-10 Power win. Stephen Crichton, anytime try scorer, Dylan Brown, Clive Churchill medalist, says Bryce from Warilla. Where was Michelle at Dubbo's texts? Yeah, Michelle, guys, I'm going Eels to win the grand final by one, and Mitch Moses will be the hero. My score, 21-20, Eels, says Michelle at Dubbo. Ah, what a racing weekend it is, and tomorrow, Tab Epsom Day at Royal Randwick. Ali Mosley will be there, and she's joining us right now. Ali, good morning.
Good morning, Middo. How are you going?
I'm outstanding, thank you, and can't wait for Epsom Day. And let's start with the feature, the Tab Epsom. What's your lean a day out?
I'm really looking forward to the two-year-old races a bit earlier on in the program as well, but in the Epsom, and it's just this running theme at the moment that all we try and do is play... I try and play Weather God from about Thursday and it just doesn't work. So I've completely given up. We're on a soft seven and it's rained overnight, but we haven't moved into the heavy range at this point. So unless we get smashed today, I can't imagine that we will be. But I think this is Ice Bath Group 1 to win. And if she doesn't, we have to really, it'll be very disappointing, but it looks like it sets up perfectly for her. She's had two near misses. She's coming into this fourth up now. She gets better as she gets deeper into her prep. The wetter, the better for her. So I think Ice Bath will win. And then in terms of another filly that there now, she's a 7-year-old even, Nimile, 6-year-old, but I just feel like she gets overlooked all the time. She won the Golden Pendant on a good four track last week, and I had a chat to Matt Smith on Tuesday morning, and he said, all things going well, if she keeps eating up and showing me that she's come through that run in good order, then I'll definitely run her on Saturday. So she's one who hasn't really enjoyed being on good tracks before in the past, and Rosehill's not her preferred track either. So loves Randwick. Loves getting her toe in the ground. So whether we're in a soft range or a heavy range, I can't imagine we're going to start on a good track tomorrow by any chance. So I think Nimile will run a big race. So at $14 is a place chance. She is the one I'd be putting my money on.
Well, what we do know, Ali, we're starting the day with a couple of two-year-old races. Is there any horses in these opening races that we need to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, so these are the two that I'm most excited for because I had a really good look at all of them a couple of weeks ago in those early two-year-old trials, and I've just brought all my notes out of the cupboard that I made on all of them, and I highlighted a few of them that I liked, and one of those actually, and I mean, it's so hard to be able to be confident enough to put your money on a two-year-old on debut, but there's one at a bit of value who, as a physical, I really liked, and that is Snatch Riley. So he's by a first-season sire, Trapeze Artist, trained by trapeze artist trainer Gerald Ryan and Sterling Alexia. The colt, just everything about him in terms of his physical was just a really early two-year-old racy type. He was supple, he pushed off his hocks, covered a lot of ground when he walked. He was really short coupled. He had the short cannons and pastons, and he's just a big, loose, moving horse. And I was having a chat to Gerald, and he said that he was the pick of the Trapeze Artist for him. And he came second in his trial. I just think he had a bit of improvement to come, which is what I'm sort of looking at in those two-year-old trials. So for the boys, I'll go with Snatch Riley in the Breeders' Plate in the first race. And then for the girls, I guess a bit of a similar story. I know Perfect Proposal, I think, ran the fastest trial of the morning by Russian Revolution. But outside of her, and it, you can often tell by who James McDonald wants to stick on because he's got a good eye for them. So I liked Sicilian, and again, her physical, she just looked like an early racy two-year-old. She had a big, deep girth, and I'm just trying to look outside of the favourites here because I think you can do that in these races.
Certainly can. What about the Metrop? The second of the group ones after the Epsom on the card, race 9. Have you got a lean there with Durston, the current favourite at $3.40?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one. They're all tricky, but in terms of, again, looking outside the favourites, I like Stockman here, and he's another one who will just enjoy the rain. If it does continue to rain, he finished really strongly last time out here at Randwick. In the Kingston Town Stakes on a soft 7, he was fourth there behind Allegro and Benno. They were both hitting the line strongly, and he's another one who improves as he gets deeper into the prep. So at the $7, I'm going with Stockman in the Metro.
You go for it, Loss.
I was just about to ask you, Ali, in the Premier Stakes, who are you leaning towards there?
I think it's got to be Lost and Running in terms of not trying to tip favourites. He looks really hard to beat there. I know he's at about the $2 quote, but on that run that he had last time out, he just was the one to follow. It was almost the run of the race outside of Nature Strip, of course, but he is short, so you sort of do like to try and look around him. But I think what John O'Shea's done differently with him this time is that he's got him a lot more forward this prep, so he saw a more forward showing from him when he resumed in the shorts, and I think he'll just bounce off that and be really hard to beat in the Premier.
What's your best bet anywhere?
Anywhere. Ooh, I can go anywhere.
Anywhere you want. We'll take winners wherever they are. Foxy.
And she's short, but I can't see how Fireburn can get beaten at the mile in the Flight Stakes on the back up. I really can't. And if she does get beaten, I think the one who will run a cheeky race will be Wolverine at the 850, but Fireburn is the best.
Yeah, everyone's tipping it. Everyone's tipping Fireburn. Very heavily backed for the Darley Flight Stakes tomorrow. So I'm going to go through your tips. Tell me if I've got any of these wrong. So in the Tab Epsom, you like Ice Bath. It's race 8, number 5. Ice Bath, $3.90 with Tab. In the two-year-old races, starting with the Breeders' Plate, race 1, number 8, Snatch Riley, which is $11 the win and $2.80 the place. In race 2, you like number 12, Sicilian. This is the Gym Crack, and it's a $4.40 chance with Tab. In the Metrop, which is race 9, you like number 1, Stockman, a $7 chance. In the Premier, race 7, you like number 1, Lost and Running, $2.40. And your best bet is race 6, number 1, Fireburn, $2.15. Ali, have I missed anything?
No, you're spot on, except the more I heard you talk about Ice Bath, the more I thought I'll put all my money on Nimalee instead.
Okay, right. Have the Quinella, Ice Bath, yeah. Nimalee in the
I
Epsom.
Think so.
Okay. We'll catch you trackside tomorrow. Thank you so much, as always.
Thanks.